We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 55th chapter. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to the newborn baby, the son of Yehoshua Shlomo, who is Bezrat Hashem having his bris tomorrow morning. Everything should go well. The parents should have complete health, and the child should have complete health. Lam Natzeach bin Ginot, we read with a traditional tune. Lam Natzeach bin Ginot, Maskil le David. We have, this is for the conductor, that David the Melech composed this song as he was fleeing from Jerusalem, and he heard that Achitophel was taking a part of the rebellion. So he was very scared because Achitophel was so smart. So he composed the song, a song that stems from a lot of thought, that David the Melech says, this song should be sung by the conductors, Hazina Elohim, listen, Hashem, to my prayer, and do not ignore from listening to my plea. Listen to me, Hashem, and answer me. I'm expecting you to accept my prayer. Arid besichi vahima. Arid, so that's I will sigh, I will wail. Besichi, as I tell over my sorrows. Vahima, and as I think about them. And the word vahima could mean as I get excited over them, as I think of them, as I. Different understandings exactly what ve'ahima, as I ponder over them, mikol oygev mipenei akat rasham ki yamitu alai aven uve'af yistemuni mikol oyev. David HaMelech says, I call to you, Hashem, because of the roar of the enemy. I hear the enemy as he is giving chase. I hear that they want to kill me. It's not enough that they made a rebellion, but rather there were certain wars where Napoleon burnt the ships when he went to the war. So the people knew there was no going back home. They had to win the war. So that's exactly what Achitophel did with Avshalom. He had Avshalom take forcibly the concubines that David left behind. And now, if Avshalom ever lets David out alive, so then David is going to have him executed. So David hears. He hears the roar. He hears that they're out to kill him. There's no compromise now. Mikol oyev, as I hear the voice of the enemy. Mipenei akat rasha, and from the dire situation that these wicked people have put me in, ki yamitu alai aven, as they tilt upon me things that are unfair, uve'af yistemuni, and it's just because of their own anger, it's just because they maintain their own enmity, they don't really owe me anything, I never did them any harm, and they maintain what enmity they can as they come and they hate me. Now that's very interesting. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Achitophel or is he talking about Avshalom? Because Achitophel had every reason to hate David. Achitophel's granddaughter was Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's husband was killed by David. And Bathsheba was taken forcibly by David. So at the end of the day, Bathsheba acquiesced and the whole Davidic dynasty continues from Bathsheba. But it's understandable where he's coming from. So we could understand either that David is saying, if you're not in the right, then the fact that you can justify your hatred, that's not good enough. Because at the end of the day, that was an issue that didn't directly affect Achitophel. And you see that Hashem backed David at the end of the day. He was wrong. He shouldn't have done what he did. But at the end of the day, Bathsheba agreed to marry him, and he treated her well, and her son was the continuation of the Davidic dynasty. Chazal tell us that Achitophel was not coming after David because of what he perceived, because of what he thought David did to his grandson-in-law and his granddaughter. But rather, Achitophel had a vision in which he saw himself reigning. And what he didn't realize was that vision was his grandson, Shlomo, who would sit on the throne. So he had a vision which misled him. And that's why he felt confident that if Avshalom bumps off David, then he could bump off Avshalom and he would take the throne. So then his hatred really had nothing to do with what happened between David and Bathsheba. If we're talking about Avshalom, so Avshalom also had a claim. If he wanted to legitimize himself, Avshalom could say, well, David didn't respond when my brother Amnon raped my sister Tamar. What kind of leader is he? David would answer, I not only responded, but I made an institution to ensure such a thing never occurs again. That's when David institutes the whole institution of Yichud. There was biblical Yichud that was prohibited, and David expanded it to ensure it never happens again. There were no witnesses to what happened with Amnon and Tamar. So Avshalom would counter, that's what you have a king for. For scenarios where you don't have witnesses. That's exactly your job. And even so, this is considered that he maintained enmity. And it would seem that here our sages are telling us what really was going on inside the heart of Avshalom. Meaning the fact that we all have excuses for doing what we do and we can justify it, that doesn't mean that's why we're really doing it. And so David is saying, I know his hatred, and his hatred is unwarranted. The fact that he could cover it up, well, okay, right, everyone can cover up what they do wrong. We can all give reasons why we're a tzaddik when we do what's wrong. But that's not really what's driving him. David says in Pasuk Hey, Libi yachil bekirbi, my heart is frightened within me. Ve'imot mavet nafelu alai, and the fear of death has fallen upon me. And here you see David HaMelech, who took down, David says about himself, he took down 800 people in one shot of his bow and arrow. But he was scared. And that's the rule we always say, a brave person is not one who does not taste fear. A brave person also tastes fear. A brave person is one who forces himself to contend with his fears. Yir'ah v'ra'ad yavovi v'techaseini palatzut. Yir'ah v'ra'ad, fear and trembling enter me, v'techaseini palatzut, and trembling encompasses me. And here it would pay to look at the Malbim a little bit, because the Malbim's forte is discerning between words that seem similar, showing us how each one is unique. So, okay, if you have a chance, you could look at the Malbim. Va'omar mi'iten li eiver kayona a'ufa ve'eshkona. David HaMelech says, I declare, I wish I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and I'd find myself a place to settle where I'd be safe from the enemy. Where was David holding? Avshalom had taken over most of Israel. Most of Israel sided with him. He had the greatest advisor on his side and he had the greatest army, and David was unprepared. Hine alchik nedod alin bamidbar. Selam. David says, I would travel far away. I'd even go out to the desert to live. Achisha miflat li meruach so'ah misar. Achisha, I would swiftly go away. Miflat li, I'd go to save my soul from those that chase me. Meruach so'ah, from the wind that's blowing turbulently, misa'al, from the great tornado, the great winds that are threatening to take me down. Bala Adonai, palag leshonam, He turns to Hashem. It's interesting that he uses the name of Adnut, spelt out over here. He says, Hashem, please, destroy them. Destroy my enemies and palag lishonam, cause their lips to be divided. The simple understanding is, cause them to have misunderstandings amongst one another. The deeper understanding might be that you know the enemy camp is weak when there's internal fighting. When you have politics, this one says this way, that one says that way. We fell that way. That was the story with Nachshon Waxman. Nachshon Waxman was an Israeli soldier who was captured, and they knew where he was. And they sent the commando unit to take him out, and the commando unit failed, and many people were killed, and he was killed too. And when they looked into it, it turned out that one of the people in charge wanted his son to be there, to be the commander of the commando unit to go in, and he wasn't the one who should have been there. And because they threw him in, that's part of what cost them. So, palag lishonam, when there's divisiveness in their language, which could mean the simple meaning, there are misunderstandings, the deeper meanings, people aren't really focused on winning the war. So that's what David's asking for. Destroy the enemy, palag lishonam, cause them to be divided in their speech. Ki ra'iti Hamas v'riv ba'ir. Because I see that whatever city they're in, they're not bringing peace to that city. They speak nicely, but ultimately they're bringing an unfair system. They're bringing thievery. They're bringing quarrels. And this is interesting because David is hitting it on the head. Avshalom was a fantastic politician. Any case David would judge, Avshalom would approach both sides and tell them, I would have given you a better hand. So each side heard Avshalom, and obviously that's impossible. And it's more impossible than that, because Chazal tell us that when there was a court case, so David would say, you say he owes you 100 shekel. He says you owe him 100 shekel. He'd rule, and then he'd pay it out of his own pocket. So he'd say, I don't want you two to be fighting. Here's the 100 shekel, pay him. So, okay, so how could you do better than that? If you're a politician, you could always do better. Because it's all theory. So that's what David HaMelech says. Ki ra'iti Hamas v'riv ba'ir. Even though they're making promises, I see that what they're doing is not going to result in any peace. Quite the contrary. It's going to result in thievery and fights. This palag l'shonam reminds me, how many years ago was it? I don't remember. Maybe it was a decade ago, a decade and a half ago. There was a party that arose that was called Shinui, change. And they won many seats in the Knesset. And their whole party line was, we're going to go against the religious parties. We're going to go against Shas. Their advertisement was Shas control. Shas controls the Knesset, and we're going against them. And when they won so many seats, so many people were upset, and I among them. And my father told me, I'm happy. So I asked my father, why are you happy? So my father said, until now, there were two parties. There was Likud and Ma'arach. And Ma'arach stood for a lot of garbage. But now, the Ma'arach has been divided. There's no longer a unified camp. Now it's all broken up. The Ma'arach lost their power, and they're taking an extreme stance. They won't last for more than one cadencia. How do you say it in English? More than one term. By the next term, they'll disappear. No one's going to like them. You can't live on just such a philosophy. But what happened is that the force that was standing there on one side has been divided, and now they're not going to get their strength again. And that's exactly what happened. I don't think Shinui exists anymore. They didn't exist in the last elections. But the left, the Ma'arach, is totally divided now. You have Kadima. Once it was broken, they can't get their act together. The what? Oh, so that's Palag Lishonam. Divide them. David HaMelech says, The threat is when they're united. And that, by the way, is one of the big blessings of what happened here in Israel this week. We have a united government, and that's a big bracha. The second you have unity, it's a bracha. Now we have to use it for good. But we're in a very good state. We're in a much better state than we were a week ago. Now Hashem should give Netanyahu the right thoughts to do what's right. But the fact that we have a unity government, that's a good thing. Unity is always power. And all our successes historically was when we were unified. Yomam v'alaylam yisovevuha al chomoteha ve'aven ve'amal bekirbah. Day and night, I see them going around the city. Yisovevu al chomoteha. They go around the city on the walls. And one understanding here is it's not talking about the people. It's talking about the thievery that he was talking about in the previous pasuk. That the thievery and the cheating that goes on surrounds the city day and night. And there's dishonesty and there's swindling going on within the city. Now, there are multiple ways to understand this. Either it means they're standing on the fortifications of the city looking at how to cheat everyone, or it means there's so much dishonesty in the city that there's no room for them left in the city. They're already walking on the walls. That's a metaphor. He's explaining how the city is becoming so corrupt. Now, this again is very interesting. One of the things we see is the power of leadership. You'd think everyone's responsible for themselves. It takes an amazing nation to be able to function that way. Usually a leader can really move a people. And that's the responsibility. That's the strength of leadership. You have a few dishonest leaders, but if they're at the helm, then they're moving things in that direction. And if you want an easy example for that, just look at the United States today. I thought, how could a president get away with taking out the word Muslim when it's a Muslim that shoots up a military compound? I thought, how could you take it out of it when he's saying Allah Akbar as he's doing it? I think that should go down on the records. No, but it's not only him. He's been able to infiltrate all the way down to the schools, down to the legal system. That's what Chazal say. Melech makshiv al sfat sheker. When you have a king that's interested in lies, kol misharatav, then all his servants all the way down are going to follow suit. The leader has a tremendous capacity to influence not only himself, he has a capacity to influence everyone all the way down. Yeah? It's not considered a hate crime and nothing. It's not terrorism. It's not. It's just a guy got upset. Okay. Havot bekirba velo yamish merchova toch umyoma. Havot bekirba. Inside the city, there is destruction. Velo yamish merchova, and the streets are never clean of toch and mirma. Toch and mirma are both forms of deceit. And the idea here is that people are doing it blatantly. They're not even embarrassed. People are openly cheating one another. People are openly swindling. And this is part of what happens when you have a system that at the top is corrupt. Go check all the Banana Republics. You see the same thing. All the policemen are corrupt, and if the policemen are corrupt, then the garbage men are corrupt, and if they're corrupt, then it goes all the way down. Everyone's taking protection money.
Where's Banana Republic?
You have these republics where there's no real government. It's all a game of holding control. And that's why every so often the governments get overthrown, and there's no real stability, and there's no real law and order there. There's whatever fits. You know, you bribe enough. You get the building built. Yes, permit. No permit. Yes, safe. Not safe. Doesn't matter. So, yeah. if you have, you can have a leadership that really gives the message, anything goes. And we're in a sorry state here, by the way. Things ain't so hot over here. We look at them and say Banana Republic, but we got a lot to work on here. There was an international an international committee that checked all the banks in the world, and they found we're high up there on the corruption list. As good as our banks are, yeah, we won't talk about our police force and other things. But okay.
What are the banks doing?
There's a lot of corruption. It's a lot of I know you and you know me, and so you'll get the loan you should be getting. Not I'm saying, because you know, there was a panel that checked out country after country.
Isn't that how it always worked with Jews? The Galut, you know? They knew that they all knew the same language. In every country, the traders would go.
To a degree, but you understand the risks in that. There's a system.
Now we're all Jews, so it's harder to
David HaMelech says, it's not an enemy that's cursing me. Because if it were an enemy, so then I could, okay, I can handle that. I know my enemies are cursing me. But rather, it's someone close, as he's going to be describing. And here again, there are two understandings here. Is he talking about the person? He's not my enemy. It's his own son. It's Achitofel, his own advisor. Or is he talking about how they present themselves? He doesn't show himself as my enemy as he curses me. Then I can handle it. And that's the famous advice Yanai gave his wife as he was passing. Said, don't worry about the rabbis. She said, who should I worry about? He said, she thought the rabbis would hate her for what her husband did. He said, don't worry about them. She said, who should I worry about? He said, the Sadducees, well, they love me. I became one of them. So who should I worry about? You worry about the colored people. People who are colored, the sycophants, they behave one way, but they make believe they're the other way. And they're the ones to worry about. And that's he worded it in a classical way. He said, She'osim ma'aseh zimri. They behave like Zimri, who went off with a forbidden woman. And v'mvakshim sachar k'Pinchas. And then they want wages as though they're pious like Pinchas. They say, look at me. So he said, those are the people to worry about. David HaMelech says here too. He says, the one who's cursing me doesn't show to be my enemy. So then I could take it. Lo misan'i alai higdil. It isn't the one who's my known enemy who has... Higdil over here literally could mean overtaken me. And then it could be understood that Avshalom overtook the kingdom. But the commentaries understand it to mean that he opened his mouth wide to speak against me. Ve'esatel mimenu. And if they were man enough to show me their true faces, then I could hide myself from them. But I couldn't, because they hid it all along. So Achitofel behaved like he was David's friend. Avshalom behaved like he was faithful to David. And then, when David wasn't expecting it, suddenly they had already turned all of the people against them. David HaMelech says, you know the government just like me. You, Achitofel, you're as important to the political system as I am. And you, Enosh Kerki, you're an important person just like me. You know exactly what's going on. I didn't keep any secrets from you. I thought you were faithful to me. Alufi umyudai. And you are from the greatest nobles. You are from my nobles, Alufi umyudai. And you were considered my greatest friend. I confided in you everything I thought because I thought you loved me. And so now you shame me. You curse me. I don't even know how to protect myself. You know all my secrets. Where does this pasuk appear? Pirkei Avos. What does it say? We learn from David HaMelech. What does it say we learn? We'll get it later. From David HaMelech. That a person should treat. David HaMelech only learned one halacha from Achitofel. And yet he called him Rabbi Alufi Umyudai, right? So that's this pasuk. Okay, I gotta find it. But you know the Mishnah I'm talking about, right? David only learned one halacha from him, and he called him Rabbi Alufi Umyudai. Okay, gotta find it.
You'll find it within the next
6 weeks. Okay, so you guys know the Mishnah. I don't have time now to find it. Okay, so that's one important point we learned from here. There's more. Here. Halomed mechaverot perk echad o halacha chat o pasuk chat o dibur chat o filo ot chat zich lenog bo kavod. If you learn even one pasuk, even one letter from your friend, you got to treat him with respect. שכן מצינו בדוד מלך ישראל שלא למד מהחיתופל אלה בדברים בלבד. David, the king of Israel, only learned two things from Achitofel. קראו רבו אלופו ומיודעו. He called him his Rebbe. He called him his noble. He called him his best friend, his confidant. שנאמר, confidant. Yes, that's how it's pronounced. ואתה אנוש כרכי אלופי ומיודעי. So then we learn a fortiori of David, who's a king, only learned two things from Achitofel. How much more so do we have to have respect for someone who teaches us?
But you taught him two things.
Right.
Maybe the minimum is two.
Okay, I hear. But maybe if a king has such levels of respect, that teaches us something. So stay tuned when we get to Pirkei Avos.
And how much respect at the time are you? Because
that's Pirkei Avos. We'll get there in our Pirkei Avos class. Back to our Tehillim. Vata enosh ke'erki. You're a man just like me. Alufi umyudei. You're my teacher. You taught me. You're my advisor. And now you've turned against me. Asher yachdav namtik sod beveit Elohim nealech biragesh. Asher yachdav, together, namtik sod. We used to share secrets with one another. I'd share all my plans and plots with you. We'd be together in that great group of learning in the academy, in the Beit Elohim. We'd learn together. Oh. So here again, Chazal teaches a lot of things from this pasuk. From Ashechdav Namtik Sod and the Beit Elohim Nalech Beragesh. That's the way a person should behave. In the academy, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the shul, a person's supposed to behave a certain way. And we learn it from this pasuk. You're supposed to behave in recognition that you're in the presence of the Great One. So, Nalech Biragesh, a person is supposed, his gait is supposed to reflect the awe that he senses when he enters there. And that's also derived from this pasuk. Yashimavit. Aleimo Yashi is like he's responsible. He tries to obligate them. Yashi tries to obligate them, to place on them, to make them responsible, to make them encounter Mavet, death, Aleimo, on them. David HaMelech turns to Hashem and says, you should obligate them with death. Yeredu she'ol chayim. Let them be swallowed to the grave as they're alive. And the idea here is they shouldn't have an evolvement, a process where they go down, but they should be chayim. They should be at the heyday of their success, and suddenly, boom, they should be destroyed, which is what happens to Achitofel. How old was Achitofel when he died? How old? 37, not 31?
I don't know. I just guessed.
30. I thought 31, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. It's 30 something. I don't remember. Okay, so this came true. Kiraot bim guram bikir baham they deserve this death because there is such evil within them. And Chazal tell us, Gimel Mlachim Ve'arba'ah Hidyotot En Lehem Chelek La'olam Haba. Three kings and four simpletons. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Who's the Aleph? Achitofel. That's Aleph. Look up the Mishnah. Chelek, right? The last parak of Sanhedrin. Ko Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lolam Haba. All of Israel has a portion of the world to come, except for... And then you run... So the Aleph that's listed is Achitofel. Ani El Elohim Mekra Vadonai Yoshieni. Ani El Elohim Mekra, I call out to Hashem, Vashem Yoshieni, and Hashem saves me. Here David is telling us really the essence of the difference between him and them. If a person recognizes that his salvation, his hope, his success is contingent on Hashem, he doesn't have to trick other people. He could be very straight and he could do what's right. But if a person thinks, it's all in my hands, that's when, if it's all in my hands, then it's a dog-eat-dog world, I better start eating. David says, I'm not like them. I turn to Hashem. V'Hashem Yoshieni, and I know Hashem will save me. Here there's room to explore why David says Elokim, Lashon Din, and why David says Vashem Yosheni, Midat Rachamim, even though Vahashem means him and his heavenly court. Erev Vavoker Vitzorayim, Asicha Vehemeh, Vaishma Koli, night, morning, noon, Asicha Vehemeh, and all three prayers. I pray before him, I beg before him, asicha, I speak my needs before him. Ve'emeh, that's the same word we had before. I get excited, I tremble before him. Vayishma koli, and so I know he will hear my voice. What's the order? Night, morning, noon. So from here we learn, by the way, the times of tefillah. Even David the Melech was davening Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha. It's not only the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. This pasuk, the Gemara and Brachos quotes. Very good. Pada v'shalom nafshi mikerav li ki v'rabim ayu imadim. Pada v'shalom, God always rescues my soul in peace mikerav li, from the wars that are upon me ki v'rabim ayu imadim. Because those that fought with me were large in number. And so Hashem always helps the guy who's the underdog. So that's the simple understanding in the pasuk. The other understanding and the traditional understanding is that Padav v'shalom nafshi, Hashem saves me out in peace, mikiravli, from my battles, ki v'rabim ayu imadi, because I had masses with me, because I had masses praying on my behalf. And from here we derive that if a person wants something from above, he should ask the masses to pray on his behalf. It says David attained what he wanted, ki v'rabim ayu imadi, because the masses were with me. And Chazal tell us, even Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to enter the land of Israel had the people of Israel davened for him. On his own, he couldn't do it. But had the masses davened for him, then he would have entered. Isn't that interesting? How many times do we look at a situation of a leader and we say, I wish, if only... Did you do something? Did you talk to... He should daven. No, it doesn't necessarily work if he davens. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. Hi, Baruch. We're videotaping, so we need you to shift. Sorry. What were you saying? Okay. Yishma El Ve'ya'anem. Hashem should hear. And the question is over here, if we go with the traditional understanding, so then we ask, David is asking that Hashem should hear the prayers and accept them. That's if the ones who are Rabbim are davening on his behalf. The word ya'anim could mean will answer them, which in prayer means he will do what they ask. Or ya'anim could come from the word le'anot. to subdue them. So the word here, depending on the interpretation, has a different meaning. If we're talking about the masses who are against David, so then David says, Yishma Kel, Hashem should hear what's going on here. Hear my prayer, V'yanim, and subdue them. If we're talking about the masses praying on behalf of David, so David says, so Hashem should hear our prayers and answer them, which in other words means, save me. V'yoshev kedim sela asher en chalifot lamo. And Hashem, who sits in the heavens that He created from way back when, He should subdue them. Asher en chalifot lamo, they don't realize that they are passing from the world. Asher en chalifot lamo, they, lamo is them, en chalifot, they think there is no exchange, they think that they're never passing from the world. That's usually at the root of sin. If a person only thought about the fact that life is going to be over one day, in other words, we're going to have to face up to how we behaved, then he'd behave differently. That's what Chazal said. If a person sees his desire, his inclinations are overtaking him, his kiloi should remind him, remember, I'm going to die one day. They're going to ask me, why'd you do this? What am I going to answer? Isn't that a difficult question? So they, why are they allowing themselves to do this? Asherin chalifot lamo. They think they're never going to pass. And that's a comfortable way to live life. If I can forget about the future, so then I can live it up now. Shalach yadav bishlomav chilel berito. Achitofel extended his hand against his peace partner. Chilel Brito, he desecrated his covenant. We had a pact between us. And he was a traitor. Chaleku machmaot piv. The words that he says, the compliments that he gives, they are so smooth. Ukrav libo. I'm sorry, I misread that. Machmaot piv ukrav libo. Ukrav libo. It's a pause. It's the biggest pause in the pasuk, that trap. Whatever it's called, Olevi or Red, I think. Ukrav libo is the biggest pause in the pasuk. It's a machlokes, different traditions among the Sfardim. But that's in general what it should be. So chaleku machmaot piv ukrav libo, yet his heart is intent on battle. His words are softer, they're smoother than oil. When in essence they are swords that are bare. He's ready for war. Hashlech al Adonai Yehovcha Vehu Yechalkelecha. This is one of the most fantastic psukim. And what's fantastic about it, to my mind, is the dual interpretation that we have in this pasuk. The interpretation that's often quoted is that the righteous should leave their troubles to God. He's going to take care of it. That's interpretation of the Radak. That's interpretation of many of the commentaries here.
In the tefillah, there's an insert in Shema Kaleinu for Parnasa, and this is quoted right at the end.
Okay, that's how Rashi learns. Very interesting pshat, right? That's the way the Mitzudah learns. That's the classical pshat. That David is saying, he just said, I trust in Hashem. So he says, leave the work to Hashem. Along comes the Sephorno. I think it's in the Sephorno. There's a commentary, one of the great Spanish thinkers, the Sephorno. He says as follows. I'm going to read it inside so they don't hang me. The Sephorno says, My friends have been so deceitful to me. These people speak calmly and softly to me as though everything's okay, and as they're talking nicely, they're preparing their plots how to turn on me. They speak softly as oil, and they're preparing swords to kill me. As they tell me, meaning this is a continuation of the previous thought, how are they trying to mislead me? How are they trying to kill me? How are they trying to destroy me, to turn on me? By convincing me, Hashleich al Hashem Yovcha. Don't worry, God's going to take care of everything. That's how the Sephorno learns. This is a continuation of the previous thought. As they're trying to kill me, they're trying to do it by getting me not to protect myself, by telling me, don't worry, God's in control.
That's what they will save you?
When someone's trying to trick you, because you're religious, you say, don't worry about it, what are you worried? Hashem is watching over you. It's good in this deal, I don't know.
So,
it's an easy way.
The truth is, I don't think that the two interpretations are mutually exclusive. Obviously, there are areas where the correct thing is to leave it to Hashem. You know you did your best, and he's running the show. And obviously, there are areas where we have to stand up and take care of things. And that balance is the challenge in life. How far do I have to worry? How far do I have to try? And at what point do I say, God's running the show, I don't have to do beyond this? But there is that balance, and obviously when you shift out of that balance, it's suicidal. Don't put on the seatbelt, God's watching you. Sure, he's watching you, he gave you a seatbelt. Put it on.
Are there people saying that? You don't have to wear your seatbelt?
No, people say, go to a war zone. If you're supposed to get killed, you'll get killed. So what if there are bullets flying and other things? People say all kinds of silly things. No, you do what you can to protect yourself. Within that realm, so okay, sometimes you say, I have to go somewhere. If you're the soldier that's supposed to be guarding that post, you better guard it. Someone came to me and said, I need recordings of your shiurim because I'm going to a guard post. I have army duty. I said, when are you going to listen to it? He said, when I'm on duty. I said, you're supposed to be guarding people's lives and you're going to be sitting listening to my shiurim? I'm going to come and break your bones. You're not going to sit there listening to my shiurim. You do your job. Do you really care? Yes, I really care. Don't use my shiurim as a cop-out. Go do your job. So there are times when you got to do your job. Lo yitein le'olam mot latzadik. This again has a beautiful interpretation here. What does it say? The tzaddik won't fall forever. So some want to interpret it, forever, you'll never see a tzaddik fall. But that's not what it says. It says, when the tzaddik falls, it won't be eternal. Meaning the tzaddik also has his falls. He also has his moments where he says, how am I going to get out of this? How is this going to work? And he doesn't know the answer. And it's not the way he'd like things to play themselves out. It's not smooth sailing. But he's confident, lo yiten le'olam mot tzaddik, that the tzaddik won't fall forever. He's going to fall. Part of life is contending with the falls. Part of life is contending with that question, how am I going to make ends meet next year? What parnasa am I going to have? Where am I going to live? What education am I going to find for my kids? What roommate? When am I going to find that shidduch? Yes, those are challenges in life, and that's part of living. And a person thinks, I'm a tzaddik, so I'll have all the answers today. No. And sometimes a person goes to the unemployment line, and sometimes a person has health issues, and that's part of life. But lo yiten le'olam mot latzadik. The tzaddik won't fall forever. Vata Elohim toridim liv el shachat anshei damim umyoma lo yechtzu yemeihem vani evtach bach. Vata Elokim toridem niver shachat. You, Hashem, will throw down Achitofel and his friends to the grave. Anshei damim u'milma. They are men of blood and deceit. Lo yechtzu yemehem. They won't live half their lives. That's why Achitofel didn't live to 35. Because he was cursed by David. He shouldn't outlive half his life. Yemei Shnoteinu Shivim Shana. Vani Eftach Bach. And I have confidence in you that I'll be saved. And that's what David really did. He lived out Yemei Shnoteinu Shivim Shana. He lived out his 70 years. Less than half of their life. David says, don't let them have their lives. Don't let them live out half the life. So I don't remember. Maybe he died at 34. We have to look up the Gemara. The Gemara brings this pasuk and says he didn't make it to 35. Was it 34? Maybe. I don't remember. Oh. Yeah. So what do we see now? David the Melech turns to Hashem and says, listen to my prayer. As I weep before you, accept what I ask you. You see the enemies, I hear them and I'm scared. They're ready to kill me. And my heart is so fearful. I have death, fears of death that have encompassed me. I'm trembling. I'm encompassed with trembling. And I say, I wish I had wings and could fly like a dove. I'd fly away. I'd go out to the desert. I'd find a place to camp. And I need an escape from this tornado that's following me. Hashem, split them up. Destroy them. Because you see how much thievery they've caused in the city. You see how much deceit they've brought to the city. You see how much they're planning to be destructive. It's not my enemies, it's people who presented themselves as my friend. I could have hidden from them if they would have been honest with me. But they were playing it out as though they were my best friends. They were my nobles. They were my confidants. And I'd share all my secrets with them. We'd learn together. We'd be part of the group together. Hashem, throw death upon them. Let them be enveloped by death in an instant. Because you know that deep inside they are evil. I turn to you, Hashem, and so you will save me. I pray to you night, morning, noon, and I know you'll hear my voice. You'll save me in peace. You'll save me from the battle. Because I'm outnumbered, but I know you'll save me. Hashem, you'll hear them and you'll subdue them. You're the one who is eternal in the world, even though they think that they're eternal. They don't consider the fact that they're going to pass from the world. And that's why they're not God-fearing people. And that's why they allow themselves to be traitors, to turn on me, to turn on our pact. Openly, they give compliments. And inside their hearts, they're preparing for battle. They speak smoothly, but really they're sharpening their swords. Hashem, you've seen this deceit. And so, Hashem, I turn to you. I leave my needs to you. I know you will save me and that the tzaddik doesn't fall forever. Quite the contrary, Hashem. I know you're going to take them down to the grave. They are men of blood and deceit. They won't live out their days, and I have confidence in you.